What motivates people to do what they do?
When you see them learning a lesson, yes, or somebody else like taking the lead to help them out, like it's touching.
Yeah.
But I feel like I love my children more when they're asleep at night. I can think about like they're laying.
You're about to find out that and more with Andy Brooks and her guests and her podcast, Under the Covers. In each episode, you'll go under the covers with Andy and a special guest to learn more about their lives. Thanks for getting cozy with us.
Fulfilling, I would say amazing, miraculous. Those would just be, you know, a few words that I've heard coming from moms describing motherhood. But then there's obviously words and experiences that you don't necessarily hear all the time. And we should, because if you're going to have kids, we should prepare ourselves. So that's why today we're going to go under the covers with my mom squad. So I'm Andy Brooks. Welcome to my podcast. It's called Under the Covers. And if you know me, you know I don't have kids. If you don't know who I am, then there you go. I don't have kids. But I would say most of my, like my best friends, my girls, my sisters, they have kids. And not only do they have kids, but they're wives and they're incredible moms and friends and sisters. And so, you know, they, when we get together, really tell me what motherhood is like. So I figured let's do kind of like a tell-all, all the things that you aren't told when you get pregnant and also after you have kids. So let me introduce to you my tribe, my girls, my mom squad. We'll start off with Katie. Katie, welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And how many kids do you have?
I have two girls.
Okay. The moms are taking sips right now to clear the throat.
We get nervous.
Okay, Brian.
Hi, Andy. I'm here.
Brian, how many kids do you have?
I have two kids. I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old.
And then my sister Lynn's here, too. Lynn, welcome.
Hi, thanks. Yeah.
How many kids do you have?
I have two boys. I have a 4-year-old and a 4-month-old.
So I just figured we kind of like started off with, you guys are moms. Every time we go out, whether it's for our dinner club, like once a month, and go out and eat and drink, or just a Friday or Saturday night or whatever, we always, you know, end up talking about life with kids because it's just, it's your life now. So I've always thought it was so fun to hear you guys tell your stories about the craziness that goes on when you have kids or when you get pregnant. So let's kind of just start it off with the first change in your body you noticed when you got pregnant. And anyone can start. Don't be shy.
Lynn's boobs got way bigger.
No, I didn't notice they got big. I noticed that they hurt. They hurt really bad. Yeah. Like that's the first thing I've always noticed is a hurt. Yep. Like a tenderness, I guess.
I remember, I'm going to just throw our sister under the bus that's not here. She had no boobs, very small boobs, yeah. And her boobs got really big.
She was that's very a fun proud part of pregnancy, yeah.
Yeah, that I guess would be a good part, of unless you have really big boobs, as it is. Mm-hmm. That would be miserable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got heartburn with one pregnancy and not with the other, but that was how I knew with my first pregnancy because I never have heartburn, and I started to get it like all the time after I ate.
I had heartburn with both the entire time of my pregnancies. And the first thing that came to my mind with, like, my body and changing was sweat. Like,
you had sweat all the time?
Well, not under the boob sweaty and the crotch sweaty. Oh, crotch. Gold Bond was my friend.
Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what the temp was, cold outside, you just sweat.
No matter what the, because I had a May baby and a December baby, but yeah, didn't matter. It was sweaty, gross all day long. Uh-huh. Wonderful.
I just had a baby in October. This whole winter, I've barely worn a winter jacket because I'm so sweaty all the time.
True. I already take like 2 showers a day. So that means I would be taking about 4 showers a day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Morning sickness. I was getting sick a ton. Just, and it's not morning sickness. It's all day sickness. It's just puking.
You
like,
puked?
Morning. And then there was always this like afternoon, like usually around 1, get sick.
I think that was, I thought that everybody puked for morning sickness. And then I found out that not everybody puked.
No, I didn't puke.
And I
for thought, either of your pregnancies?
Mm-hmm. But you feel queasy and gross. Yeah, that's and also, like nothing entire, sounds good.
Yes, yeah. That's also, yeah. Yeah. Nauseous.
Like, nauseous the entire time. And mine wasn't just the first trimester. It was the entire
That would be miserable.
Mm-hmm. I used to be obsessed with chicken nuggets when I was pregnant with craving. Ruby.
From
McDonald's.
Late night lunch.
It brought it back.
Right.
That's funny. Yeah, I would just go through the drive-thru and get like a 6-pack undercover style and like eat them in my car because everything else I was grossed out by, but those tasted so good. Mm-hmm. I thought Ruby was going to be born a chicken nugget.
I thought cravings were real, and now yeah. you say them, but then I heard people were like, no, that's just like something. A myth.
If you're sick, there are only limited foods that sound good to you at certain points in time, because then yeah. I kind of got over that.
After. Well, and I feel like I never really had an appetite. Like I love food so much, and that's what I hated about being pregnant. It's like I didn't crave anything or enjoy anything, mm. and I kind of wanted somebody to cook for me. Like, yeah. my husband didn't, but it was like, make me something. You
that's
choose.
A different podcast.
Yeah, you choose. You choose what we're having for dinner. Yeah. I have no cravings for anything, and I always have cravings for stuff. But I did the...
Chicken nuggets.
No, not chicken nuggets. With my second, after I put Henry to bed, the second I would make s'mores in the oven.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
You're like, nobody look. This is happening right now.
S'mores
so good.
In the oven.
I actually could do that, and I'm not pregnant, so I would enjoy that.
Yeah. And you're tired? All oh, like dead tired. That's like the other you can't thing. Understand how people function.
No.
I remember the first time I was pregnant, I thought if I had another kid right now, they would die because I was so tired. I couldn't watch anybody or do anything.
That's the same
and
thought
she
I would have.
The next yeah, it was okay. Surprise.
And I think some of the tired, you're just like, okay, I'm just tired because this is the pregnancy. Like, I could sleep like all day and it's still not yeah. going to go away. So I just got to kind of like keep going.
And with your second, third, fourth, you're so used to not sleeping and not getting anything that you want that you don't notice yeah. it. It's you're already in that lifestyle. The first one, I feel like it's more jarring because you're not used to it. But.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. yeah. I don't know if it was because the second one was easier for me. And so he slept more than my first one. But it was like you just, I don't know. You just don't notice it as much, I think. Yeah. The first one, it's like, oh my God, I'm going to die. I haven't slept. But second one, you just kind of
they always
go
say
with
like
it.
you just have like that mom energy, like you just mm-hmm. do it. You have to do it
right before kids. Like I need my 8 hours of sleep.
It's warrior energy.
But now it's like yeah, no,
I haven't slept in years.
You look great.
And when you do sleep, you don't ever sleep the same.
No.
And then she has me blowing her phone up at like 5 a.m. when I'm getting up for work. And you're like, I'm sleeping in for once.
Yeah, you're on another level.
I will never forget, again, going to throw our other sister under the bus. And I love you, Kate. But the one, she's very much so like tinier than me. And so when she got pregnant, you know, she became my size, basically, I feel like. And she asked to use my winter jacket because she didn't want to buy a maternity jacket.
and I think like, some of your clothes,
and
too.
Some of my clothes, yeah. And I was like, well, these aren't maternity clothes. But
you like my style.
Yeah, you can wear them because I guess they're going to fit you now that you're pregnant and in maternity. So when you're, you know, getting to be bigger as your stomach grows, that baby bump, like, what is it like trying on clothes or just the daily, like, struggle? Is there a struggle?
No, it's awesome. It's one time in your life you never have to suck it in. You're like, just let it all hang out. And it's the only time that you can gain 30 pounds and people are like, you look beautiful. You look so great. And even if you don't, they're still going to tell you that. So.
And the maternity clothes, like, has the elastic. Like, remember the first time I put those stretchy. Pants on? Like, these
still
are
wearing
amazing.
Them. Still wearing them. Yes.
Yes.
Oh. So but no. I don't. The only thing that's annoying is in the very beginning when you just feel gross and you are getting bloated, you're starting to get bigger, but you can't tell you're pregnant and you're not big enough to like officially wear all the maternity yeah. clothes because they don't fit you yet.
And people are like, is she
gaining
weight?
And your regular clothes are getting really tight and uncomfortable. So it's that in between, I think. That was the only part I didn't like.
But. There were many parts of it that I disliked. I thought, I just get very uncomfortable. But it is awesome that you can wear like very form-fitting clothes and people are just like, okay, whatever.
Rock
like,
that bump, girl.
Yeah, you can wear like a really tight tank that I haven't worn since 8th grade. Like, fantastic. Like a style, you know, like, it's great. It's
I
great.
Can wear that crop top.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
But pull those out.
Celebrate mm-hmm. that belly, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're big and you're, yeah.
You just own it.
Yeah. Great.
Rolling around.
Pregnant.
Looking ooh, like a goddess. The end. You can like barely get up. Like you're like,
oh, yeah.
can't
roll
do
over
your
in
shoes.
Bed well.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, don't talk about bedtime. That's the word.
Like why?
Sleeping
when you're
you
pregnant.
You don't sleep.
No.
Because you can't sleep on your stomach, obviously.
Right.
Did you guys ever get the pillows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask.
I had like nests of pillows all around me. Because you.
Did you get a body pillow?
Yes.
I dreaded
it. I had all my other pillows.
Dreaded it.
But you wake up a lot because you have to go to the bath, especially at the end. You have to go to the bathroom frequently, or then you're just, especially if you're not used to sleeping on your left side or your back, then you just, your body keeps trying to go into your normal sleeping position, but you can't, and so you don't get good rest.
And then, it, like you said at the beginning, if you're sweating a lot, then you're just miserable sweating in bed, waking up in a puddle of sweat.
That happens.
And then after you have the baby, that continues to happen. Like, you wake up the first couple of
fluids.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about after the baby. Like, I mean, some of the stuff that I've heard is so raunchy that it makes me, I love kids, but it makes me think, like, I don't know if I can physically go through this.
So tell us some of the things that you've heard. Yeah, we'll validate whether or not that's been an experience.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, well, straight up, when you have the baby, basically, like, your whole, everything just comes out of your vajay.
Yeah. I didn't realize how much blood. I remember when I had my first, I had to go to the bathroom right away after I had him. So I went to the bathroom and I got up, I looked in the toilet and there's just all that blood was still in there. I'm like, I didn't realize there was going to be that much blood in the toilet. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, I knew you bled afterwards, but not, I was just
like
shocked
a murder
realizing
scene.
How much.
Yeah. And this is going to be just like stupid because I know you can't help it, but I think when you're in the moment, obviously you're not thinking about it, but you could go number two while you're delivering.
Well, that did not happen to me, but I know people who have done that.
Yeah. Did you guys not poop?
I had a C-section.
Let's talk about a C-section.
Both times,
Did you poop both times?
It's very common, I think.
So the first one, I'm sure I pooped a little bit, but second one, listen to this. So I was induced with the second one, and so... where I was at, they're like, oh, you can't be ready to deliver yet. Like, yeah, all day long I was in labor, but like where I was at, like, oh, you're not really dilated or whatever enough. And so then I'm like, well, I feel like I have to go poop. And so then I went to the bathroom, and as I was in the bathroom, as in the bathroom getting ready to poop, I went through a contraction, but it was a contraction that so this is another thing, when I give birth, I sound like a cow when you go through the contractions. Like, and that was like the breathing really sounded like a cow. And so when I went to go to number two, because that's what I felt like I needed to do before I had my second one, I just looked at my husband and he looked at me and was like, yeah, that's not, you're farther than you think. So then we went back into the bed and the lady checked me again. She's like, no, you're good. I'm like, well, I feel like I have to poop. And so she's like, you know what, just poop.
Just poop here in the bed.
Well, you're kind of like,
and you have all these like pads underneath you and tissue.
They're like, just lay over on your side and poop. And so as I was getting ready to poop, she's like, there's a head coming out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It is the same muscles. When they tell you to push, it feels the exact same push sensation as taking a giant poop.
And that's what they tell you. They say, push like you're going to poop.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And it was. So because when they had checked me the last, I wasn't ready to go. And so then when I'm like, fine, I'm just going to poop here in bed. And she's like, there's a head coming out.
So
I'm like,
I told you.
Did you poop too?
I'm sure I did.
Wait, you know what? They don't even care.
They just move it out of the way.
Because it's so normal.
They don't care. I was like, I think I'm going to poop. And the first time with Cash, I tried to deliver vaginally. And they were like, I was like, I think I'm going to poop. And yeah, they were just like, it's okay. Like, they don't
they're
even.
So
and your
cool
husband
about
also
it.
Isn't like, at least my husband wasn't like, ugh, gross. Like, he was just like, okay.
They're horrified at the whole scene. Yeah. They don't know what's going on.
Just do what you need to do.
The husbands?
Yeah, they're not horrified, but they just, it's foreign, right? Your body is doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
It looks different.
Looks different. People are coming in every 5 minutes, putting their whole arm up your vagina, like.
Putting vacuums in your vagina.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
It's a totally different scene. They have no room. They have no room to say a damn thing in that room.
And it doesn't even look like what they're, you know what I mean?
No.
Like, it's just like, okay, this is not what I'm used to, and it's fine.
Anyone's husbands pass out?
No.
Drew, when they told him, no, he did not pass out. When they told him, he was out of the room with me, and when they told, he was with my mom, the first delivery, when they told him I was going to have a C-section, he started bawling.
Oh, he was worried.
And I was like, okay, let's go do this. Like, and they didn't tell me that till after the delivery, though, because they thought it would obviously get me a little nervous.
Yeah.
You saying that, like, you're okay, when they said you had to get a C-section, you're okay with it. I feel like leading up to labor and giving birth, I was so, like, so scared. I didn't know what to expect. But then when you're in the moment, your body just takes over, and you're okay with whatever needs to get done.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of worry. I had a lot of worry and anxiety going into, like, what's it going to feel like?
Definitely.
How am I going to know?
Can I tolerate it? Can I do it?
Yeah. No.
Like, when you're talking about what to expect going into labor and stuff, what do you wish people would have told you? Like, or do you wish someone would have said, this is what you're going to expect? Like, no?
It's so different for different people.
Yeah.
I think it's like when my grandma, who I don't even talk to that much, she had called me up before I was going to have my first baby. And she was like,
if you can take a poop, you can have a baby. And I'm like, what? Nobody ever said that to me. And she's like, it's the same exact type of muscles. And that's now like
what you think.
Yeah, I agree with it. And yeah, I think what you said too, like you just start to trust your body that women have been doing this for so long and biologically your body knows what to do. And so you just sort of let go of like what you're afraid of or like hearing other people's horror stories and wondering if it's going to happen to you.
I think it's almost easier if you just say like it's so different for everybody, because I made the mistake of one girl was like, what's the C-section like? And I was like, mine was perfect. You're going to be fine. And she didn't feel fine after her first one. So I feel like almost just being like, it's okay. Like let your body do what it's going to do. And you almost can't prepare somebody like because it is going to be so different. Like,
I remember too, like the one thing that I was always questioning, like, what does a contraction feel like? I don't know. How will I know?
Yeah.
But to me, it felt like cramps, like really bad period cramps. And where I get my period cramp is where I had all the contractions. But then there was a time when I, you know, was going through labor, because labor is a really long time. Your body goes through different stages. But I remember having that, relax. And there was a whole body relax, and my body just took over and came out.
Yeah. Miraculous. I told you one of the words.
Miraculous. I did just think of something I wish someone would have told me, to shave my whole vagina beforehand.
Or they'll do it for you anyways.
Well, what? They will?
I don't I don't have the right doctors then, because nobody offered to do that.
The doctors shave it.
No, the nurse nicely shaved it for me before a C-section. Like, they shave it for you.
But why a C-section?
Well, because they're going to be cutting you right down there. So they shave for you.
She put my initials in there for me.
What did she? Yeah, like what? Were you?
She brings a nice little, Drew was sitting right there with me.
Straight razor,
Bic. No, it was just a little, it was like a Bic. She just, I was like, is that two blades? What are you working on? She just shaped that like your brand whole new vagina. Or she just did like, across the top, like a nice,
landing strip.
I said, you just leave a nice little landing strip. And she left like a nice, just, you know, she did what she did. Ask Drew, he was with me, yeah.
I mean, well, nice little.
So
nice
it's,
little
I think
trim.
So. It's not like in the way of like your. I mean, obviously, I didn't have hair all the way up to my incision, but I think just so it's kind of like cleaner and they sterilize it. And
my bush goes right up to my belly button.
Did your husbands ever have to like shave your legs or the bush
up
to your belly button?
I couldn't. By the time I was so pregnant, you don't care, but you can't see it.
No.
Like, so I was like, whatever.
But it gets more sensitive too. Like if you were gonna go get it waxed, it would hurt. Hurt like a mother.
Really?
Oh, I mean, you remember at the pool.
I didn't get it waxed.
I just was letting it.
Yeah,
you just stop shaving and just.
You don't even care.
You rate it. Everything is
wrong. My husband did paint my toenails for me.
Oh, that's nice.
At the end,
that's nice.
Yeah.
So when you're pregnant, what is like, I mean, do you have sexy time? I would be like, this sucks.
No. So some women get super horny when they're pregnant.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, like the hormones, everything make them like sex-crazed animals. And then other people have the opposite effect. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just how you're feeling and if you're feeling yourself too.
So I had a boy and a girl. And with the girl, I was more horny. Boy, not at all. And somebody had asked me that, who also had a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
And she said she was more horny with a girl as well.
Interesting. Weird.
Yeah. I know. You have
the increased estrogen.
Yeah, you have girl. You have boy, boy.
I was not at all.
So Lindsay, like, I don't want to have sex ever again.
I was uncomfortable. No, yeah, I wasn't the first time, and I noticed I was more the second time. But Ruby's so kind of really like a tomboy, so.
Okay, so you give birth, the baby's out. What's life like after your like for the next couple of days? What happens to you?
Rainbows and
your vagina hurts like hell. You have ice packs on it. If you gave birth vaginally, but you still have pain if you had an incision.
Pooping.
Oh, pooping. You're so afraid to poop. You can't leave the hospital until you fart or poop. And you're so afraid you're just going to blow everything out down there.
Stop.
Yeah.
You don't want to bear down. Oh, I don't know if you could.
I don't want to think about it.
Pooping after you give birth is the worst thing ever. Like, my sister told me, she's like, asked for the
stool softener.
Stool softener.
Yeah, you have to take stools. Yeah. I took stool softeners weeks after.
She's still
because you're scared. Like,
so scared. Yeah. Like, I remember being up in the middle of the night, and I have to poop, but I can't. And
terrified.
So I know I'm a new mom. I also, like, have a baby. I probably just fat and changed and all this, and I'm in the bathroom trying to poop at, like, 2 in the morning.
It's so scary. Because you're just so swollen and fragile down there.
And even stitched up.
Stitch, yeah.
Yeah, if you
stitches with both of mine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. And you're bleeding like crazy, and you have these pads that are easily 11 to 12 inches long.
And you also have this amazing underwear.
Oh, it's like
mesh net
underwear.
What? Are you being serious? You love it?
I loved it. It's like as many as I could from the hospital.
Why?
It's just so, it just stretches and like.
It's like a hairnet for your ass.
It really is amazing afterwards. Like,
I hate wearing underwear, so now I don't know if I like that.
Well, if you have kids, you have to wear underwear after because you're going to be bleeding.
Yeah, you're gonna do something. It's not gonna run down your legs.
There's gonna be stuff coming out.
People didn't tell me like how much every hole would leak. Like I had hemorrhoids. Like bleeding.
Nipples,
my
stuff coming
boobs.
Out.
Yeah, once my milk came in, I just have milk streaming down. I wake up in milk puddles, and it felt like every part of my body was oozing something.
And did you guys have those first couple nights? You would wake up in a cold sweat. Like I'd be breastfeeding with like sweating, but also like covered in blankets.
Your body's just adjusting.
Your body doesn't know what to do with itself right away.
I forgot about the hemorrhoids.
Butt nuts.
Yeah. Butt nuts. What are those like?
It's like a big
Sometimes it hurts. Okay. Sometimes they just are like uncomfortable.
Did you get
like
tux?
Bleeding.
What?
No, I had the like hemorrhoid cream and I put that pad in my underwear and just put that cream all over the pad, and that would be
tux.
It's like kind of
medicated,
it's like
wipes
witch hazel, and just soothes it. It brings a little coolness to your
just leave them in like your underwear.
People can use those on the daily.
Yeah, they do sell them in the pharmacy. Yes.
Oh, good to know.
Good to know.
What'd you say those are called?
What are your long-term effects postpartum?
Because I had, so having your period afterwards, I remember a conversation I had with Katie. So after I had the kids and my period started coming back, like, I would normally wear tampons. And I realized that these tampons were not staying in at all.
They're too small for that pussy
now. I'm like, what is going on up there? Like, it was, I could feel them. It was just random. Yeah. Well, no, I had to ask, ask him, like, I'm like, what's it like wearing tampons after you had two? Because she was the first.
I was like, they fall out.
She had two.
You should see how many light tampons I have under my sink to this day. Because if I buy the multi-pack, I can't even use the lights because they don't do what they're supposed to do. They fall out. I could sneeze and they come out my pant
leg. I thought there was something wrong with me. Like, I thought, I'm like, there's something going on down there. And then I checked with Katie to see if she was having the problem too. I even checked with my doctor. She's like, no, you're all messed up down there. So it's going to fit differently.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You told me about the special.
And then, so now I wear special underwear.
Mm-hmm. What's the special underwear?
Well, I wear Thanks, which is period panties. I just free bleed into my panties now, my special panties.
Free bleed, she's a hippie.
I free bleed. It is one less cramping, and it's like a pad, but it's not a pad. It's underwear. You just bleed into the underwear.
And then you change it every couple hours?
You like rinse it out and wash it and wear it. I have a few pairs.
So you can just keep them out.
Wow. Yeah.
Those don't come in thong style.
They might
do.
Actually.
They do.
Bikini.
I think they have a thong kind. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how effective it is.
I don't understand.
You can let us know after you try it. One thing that I don't feel like I could do for at least, it took about 6 months till I could confidently do yoga without having so many little embarrassing queefs during class. Because if you get in the wrong position, I felt like my vagina was huge. It would just, like, gulp air in the room. It was horrifying. I was like, I can never do this again. But I think it was because I started doing it pretty close, like, postpartum, and I was still pretty stretched out.
If only we had video going, your face was great. You're like, yes, happening. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I have to talk about that because your vagina does not belong to you anymore. It is.
No, like, it doesn't ever go back. Vagina. Or, like, because it doesn't.
I mean, I think Tim could probably say my vagina's not the same as when we started dating in college.
No. And I think that's as we get older, right?
I mean, right? I don't know.
I think if you have babies, yeah.
Oh, and then, like, I just actually was talking to my friend Katie in Chicago, and she's like, I know this to you isn't going to mean anything because you don't have kids, but she's like, my body's finally coming back to, like, normal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, you're starting to work out and you're feeling good. And she's like, well, no, like, she's like, I still have my, like, pouch a little bit, but, like, my insides, I can feel it. They're coming back together. And I was like, what?
I just had that thought the other day. I was literally, like, getting ready in the bathroom, and I was like, all right, I'm starting to, like, feel normal again. And I didn't even deliver vaginally, but you just start to like.
Well,
because
like when the baby's growing, when your baby's growing in there, the bigger they get, your organs move around to accommodate that baby. And then I remember when I came home the first time, I felt like all my organs were just sort of like floating around in my torso. I couldn't describe it, but it didn't feel like things felt normal or natural. Like it felt like there was just a misplacement of like my.
Wow. How do you guys feel? I feel like underwire bras after having kids. Like, I feel like, did my rib cage just move or what? Yeah. Like,
oh, I don't even mess with
those. I don't wear them.
Right. No, I don't either.
No, I have a training bra right now.
Target sports
bras.
Yeah,
or a sports bra.
Oh, that's cute.
You don't wear
them. Oh, yeah. Oh, sexy. Yeah, I love them right now, but...
I can't do that, and I cannot do like sexy underwear at all because I've got stuff. My ass cheeks hang, my pooch, like my stomach hangs. It's...
Why can't you wear an underwear bra? That's weird to
me. Well, I feel like my ribs. So right here, I feel like I have ribs that are sticking out now because probably after you know they got bit. Like,
and your
out.
Boobs get all kinds of different sizes. I couldn't tell you what size I am.
No, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
I think it was just easier. I never wore an underwire. No. And then ever since Cash, I just never went back to underwires. I mean, if I had to wear like strapless, which I rarely would wear, but yeah.
Wow. I do. Yeah, randomly, like, I do have one underwire.
I mean,
I wear
we should not
go,
be your baseline. There are a lot of moms out there who do not let this mess them up. We are creatures of comfort. Look
I
at
like
all of
that
us. We're wearing yoga pants. And
that's, I mean, that's good though, because you're just like, I don't care. I'm a mom. Right. I have so much to do. Yeah. I don't have time for anything
Life
else.
Life is too short for me to be chasing an underwire bra.
That is something that, like, I appreciate about this group, like, we're honest. Yeah. I feel like there's some moms that I meet that are just like, this is wonderful. I love it. I'm like, I can't be your friend because I feel like you're not honest with that. You're not going to be honest with other things.
Right. Because, like, yeah, I'm sure it's amazing, right? It is a miracle.
Like,
you just
the
have...
love you grow and feel is unrivaled. It is amazing and awesome. And then there are days you're like, what the fuck is going on in this house, right? Who are these people? And why are they in my family?
That's why we have our dinner club.
That's right.
To get away from the families.
And be people. And being a mom, it can be all consuming. It's good to find your people and to like just talk about anything that's on your mind and be honest, like you said.
Mm-hmm. I should say, I actually was going to say this at the beginning, but didn't. He's talking about getting out, getting away from the family, like doing a girls' night. One of our girls, Jana, was supposed to be here today, but she texted us this morning and just goes to show that...
Typical mom.
Yeah. I don't have kids, right? We talked about this before, but it's just so hilarious how it's like she texted all of us this morning and said, my son's throwing up on me, and I have to stay at home today. I'm so sorry. Like, she couldn't come because mom duty calls. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just, like, it's crazy. And that's something, like, when your kid throws up on you, great, awesome, here we go. Because that's just something you, I mean, maybe you threw up on yourself in college or something when you're puking, but
it's like trying to have that happen to me.
We did have a big moment last night. So my son was up puking last night as well, but we didn't know that he puked. We hear him walking into our bedroom. And we're like, Henry, what's going on? And he's like, I puked in my bed. And we look up, and he has a trash can. Aww. He got the trash can. Like, this is a big,
big step.
Like, he brought a trash can to puke
he's
in again.
Learning.
Yeah, aww. Big step.
How old the worst when they just come at you with the throw up.
Because I loved seeing our oldest sister, Kate, pump. She would let it all out when she was breastfeeding. It was awesome. So let's talk about breastfeeding. Scariest moments, worst moments, best. Is there a best moment? What's it like?
It's hard work. It is can be painful, especially in the beginning or if you get like, what is it? Mastitis, sex thrush.
Yeah.
Like it's your nipples clogged hurt. They can get chapped. Once your kids get teeth, they can bite your nipples and that freaking hurts. I was just going to say I had to go back to work after both girls at 3 months and I would pump at work. And I remember with Ruby, I had gotten behind on my milk supply. So then you like start to stress yourself out and I'm pumping all the time so that she'll have enough breast milk while I'm at work. And she had also been teething. And so she had bitten my boob. Oh. And so as I was pumping, it kept like reopening the wound. And I was so desperate for milk that I just served her. We were joking. It was strawberry milk. It was bloody milk. I basically served her the next day because I didn't have enough milk. And I was just so worried about, like, introducing formula. So much pressure to do it all. And she wasn't eating food yet. And so, yeah, you just – You like
strawberry gold.
Yeah.
It's oh my gosh.
We'll take it all.
I feel like people don't talk about so much. I feel like now more days people are talking about it more, but like that pressure to breastfeed, like it just messes with your mind. And then I never, with Cash, I don't remember being told like stress is going to like lessen
decrease your.
I was like, I didn't even know that. Like that's probably was half of the issue with my first one. And
you're stressed out that you want to produce milk, but then you can't produce milk because you're stressed out.
Yeah.
Well, and you just reminded me that like with after you have a baby, your uterus is large, so when you breastfeed, it helps your uterus go back to size, so it like cramps a little bit. So with your second one, you know, I noticed it more. Yeah. But when you breastfeed, you have menstrual cramps the entire time you're breastfeeding for. I don't remember how long that lasted, but I dreaded breastfeeding the second time. It hurt so bad.
Loved
like your boobs. My boobs are like pancakes.
Yes, oh, they shrink. What's going on?
Ew, they get so like, gross.
Really?
Yeah, they're just like
they'll go back. Yeah. They'll come back. Okay, they do like a weird deflated shrinkage that makes you feel terrible about yourself. Yes. But they do come back.
They come back.
Okay, good. What? Yeah. I tried it one last time with it, and I was like,
roll them or something.
Rocking sock.
And you can tell there's nothing in it anymore. I was like,
but they come back.
Yeah.
They just come back.
Yeah, it takes I don't know. I felt like it took a few months at least for them to like come kind of back up to a normal place. They're definitely not like my pre-kid boobs, but they're definitely not my underwear, post-nursing boobs. Those were scary.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah.
See, guys don't have to go through any of this. None of this.
Nope.
And then they wonder why we don't want to have like, not me because I haven't had kids, but they wonder why you don't want to have sex or because you're like, I just don't feel good. Like my boobs look like pancakes.
Yeah.
You're just tired.
You're just tired, right? I feel like
I don't even care about that.
I just want to be alone.
Yeah. Stop touching me, please. Yes. I just got in a comfy position in bed.
I don't know if anyone else felt this. I didn't love breastfeeding. Like the process for me was not always so smooth, but like the feeling when he would like, get that out, like get out
the relief.
Yes. I was like, oh, this feels great.
But, yeah, because they always say your boobs hurt.
Do you remember our first girls trip? My 30th birthday, we went to Vegas, and my second one was turning one right around that time, and all I had was one of those big breast pumps that are like
big
the backpack. Yeah. I'm like, I can't bring this. That's like a carry-on. And I already have a carry-on. This is not fitting with my Vegas lifestyle. So I borrowed. A friend of mine had the pump that was just like a really small piece. And so I was going to use my actual parts that touched my breasts and just connect them to her little motor thing. So I had it all packed and we got to Vegas and I was like really engorged because I hadn't nursed the whole travel day. And I realized I hadn't tested the pump before I left. And so my tubes, not all of it fit with that motor. So then I'm Googling frantically, like, all the pharmacies on the Vegas Strip to find breast pump supplies.
Mirage Hotel. Yes.
So then I go and I have to buy a hand pump from CVS for, like, $50. Oh. And it's the only one in the store. And sit there and hand express my milk in Vegas because...
You had to get it out.
Yeah.
I remember, so I think you did it in the shower. You were
first, I tried to go in the shower and like get out with my hands. Yeah. I'm like, it's not working. I have to like vacuum this stuff out of me. It hurts.
Well, did you see when you get started, it just shoots.
Oh, yeah.
It just shoots.
I love it. I love you can even just like push it.
Yeah. And it just sprays.
Or if it hurts, just go in the bathroom and like, press a little bit.
Yeah.
Timing.
Yeah. That is. Yeah. My boobs were looking so good at the pool.
Let's go when I'm breastfeeding.
Yeah.
But there was,
remember that one old dad? He loved talking about titty milk. This guy at in Vegas was not really chaperoning. He was going with a group of young men. One of them was a son who was doing his bachelor party. And of course, Andy struck up some conversations and made some friends. And he started talking to us and somehow he found out that I was still breastfeeding and he was talking about titty milk for all night long. His wife, he just kept reminiscing about how his wife, he loved it when his wife would breastfeed their kids. It was a weird fetish thing.
Yeah.
Thinking back about it.
Everyone says it tastes like almond milk.
Drew has taken a shot of it and he said it doesn't have much taste at all.
Yeah.
It's very sweet.
Yeah.
I have tasted, like, I haven't drank it, but I tasted mine and it's sweet.
Yeah.
I've never tasted it.
Oh, yeah. Well, did you guys see that thing with Kristen Bell? She has like a series, I think she's doing like a video series, and she was talking about how she didn't Dax have to suck the breast milk.
Yeah. She had to get not breast milk. She had like a clogged duct.
She had a clogged duct. Yeah.
Oh, clogged duct.
Anyone's husband anyone's husband do that?
No.
Would they
ever do that?
I don't even know if they'd be that good at it, truthfully. Yeah. Like, babies are little hoovers, and yeah, I think men would try to be all erotic about it.
And you're like, get off my baby.
It's not like that. It's like utilitarian. Yeah. Get it out.
Yeah. Did you guys exclusively breastfeed, or did you do both at all? Or I have a question. So I did both, and I found myself in public, if I was bottle feeding, I'd be like, I also breastfeed, though. Like you had to.
Oh, that's so.
Oh, you had to say that because you feel people would be like, you
are like giving a bottle to that newborn. I'd be like, I breastfeed too, though. Like,
it's breast milk in here.
It's so for both kids, like my goal was to breastfeed for a full year, but both of them about 4 months was probably the max I breastfed for both of them. And I did. I had that, I can do this, but it's like you're stressed. And I talked to everybody like, how can I produce more milk? And that was just producing more stress. And I think going to formula was such, like once we did it, it was such a relief to me. Because then I could have more freedom. Even. Mm-hmm. And that freedom part was something that, like, the first 3 months, I don't like the first 3 months of my children at all. It was probably after 3 months is when I started to love them more.
Yeah.
Because you get more sleep, all those things. And so going formula also helped me have my freedom and not have to be around the clock. Somebody else could feed them. So that was like a hurdle to get over, like, okay, it's okay not to breastfeed. And then I knew my nieces and nephews were all on formula. Like, they're just fine. They're 18 years old. They're just fine.
I remember, Lynn, when you had Bo just recently, a couple, like 6 months ago now?
Four.
Well, 4 months.
He's 1 year now.
Why just like six.
You always tell him he's older. Yeah.
I'm so bad with ages.
It's okay. It's okay.
So I remember when you... you don't know how old your kids are.
You don't have to. Yeah.
When your husband was out, Drew, my brother-in-law, he was out of town. And you asked me to stay because no one was at home with you. And she has, Cash, the other son. So you're like, can you stay with me when you just had him.
And I had an infection, I think.
Yeah, you had an infection. Yeah. It was Halloween night. We had to go to the hospital.
Oh, yes.
So you're all alone. You're like, can you stay with me tonight? Because, obviously it's Halloween night. I've got Cash, the baby. I'm home alone. I'm going to need help. Totally. I would love to. That was my first experience. Literally,
and she rocked it.
Staying
with a newborn.
Because of you.
Yeah.
Staying with a newborn. And not all babies need to be. I don't know. Okay, tell me if I'm wrong. We fed every 2 hours on the 2 hours. And it was.
Newborns eat every 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah. It was on the dot. It was
on the dot.
You
would wake up and be like, yeah, ready.
And it was so crazy because you got to change, feed, burp, bed. I mean, it was so.
The definition of insanity, doing the same shit over and over and over again.
With no sleep. I remember the next day I was like, What just happened?
It also didn't help that we had a 3-year-old throwing like a massive tantrum while this was all trying to happen.
Oh,
those first 3 months.
I was blacked out. And then you think the baby's not breathing, right? So then you're freak out mode and you can't go to sleep because you're like, the baby's not breathing. And Lynn's like, it's okay, he's breathing. I'm like, I don't know how you do it. I give all mom and dads credit. You're like not the dads.
We do need the help of dads and grandmas. And
I think we have there's something in our body. I'm sure there's some chemical that's making us okay to be able to do it. You know, right? There should be something in there and make us be able to do that.
Yeah, that shit's not for the faint of heart.
I think you said it, though. You just kind of, like, black out. You're just like, all right, here we go. Like,
I do feel like once you resign yourself to this is my life for a period of time, you just settle into that place of doing it. It's when you're trying to fight it and you're like, I'm so tired, all I want to do is sleep, or like you want a break, then I feel like it's more painful.
Just keep going, because when you stop, then you're like, ugh. But if you just keep going, you don't have time to think about it.
Every day, they get a little bit older.
And they get a little better. Every day, it gets a little better.
Yeah.
Well, Brian and I were like talking earlier to get here, Jana, right? She couldn't come today because baby's sick, got to be home, help out with the other baby and husband. But like, just to even get here today, we had to plan it out, right?
Yep.
We had to look at your schedules. I'm always like, I'm the only one here that doesn't have kids. So you guys tell me when your schedules are free.
Well, this is conveniently being recorded during nap time.
Right. Yeah. So is that what's going on?
Yeah. So that's how we decided the time because it's nap time. Yeah. And for me, my kids don't nap, but this is the time we put in a movie for them.
Right.
So I was bringing this up with her. I'm like, if she had dads come, would they plan it the same way that we plan it?
No, I'm free all day.
And you said they just pick up the keys and go. What'd you do before you came here?
I had to get lunch. I did painting because I felt guilty because I
it's going to leave.
But we're talking about how mom beautiful guilt, the birth of your kids were. And do you have mom guilt all the time?
Oh, all the time. If I yell at my kids, then that night I'm in bed like, I'm the worst mom. Why? They're going to remember all the times that I yelled at them. And you just always think you're not doing enough or good enough or whatever.
Well, I have to say, this is going to be cheesy, but I'm with you guys all the time, and you guys are great. Your husband probably want to kill me because I'm like, dinner club? Who wants to go out for drinks?
That's what makes us good moms. We don't forget who we are.
Okay. Did anybody's water break?
No,
we forgot about that.
They broke mine.
Which I thought everybody's water. Always broke. But did yours?
Yeah, both times.
Both times. Mine. With the first one, mine didn't break, and I was pushing, and the nurse was down there, and it broke on her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Could you feel it at that point?
Yeah, I felt it burst, and I was like, I'm sorry. She's like, no, this is wonderful. She's going to go much faster now. I'm like,
oh. She's like, it's all over my face.
Rubbing it in.
No, okay. Do you guys remember the nurses up at the hospital being like the nicest people?
Oh, yes. They were way better than the doctor.
Yes.
They knew where you were in your pregnancy or your labor and delivery and just were like so reassuring. Yes.
And afterwards, they were just like, they
took care
awesome.
Of everything. We had a shift change. I don't know if it was the first one or second one. And like the people from the first shift stayed.
Because
they knew I was so close. They stayed. So I had everybody in there watching me.
That's awesome. What happens when your water breaks? Like, does it full? Like, is it literally like? This is what I imagine. I imagine a lot of like a big stream of pee
like a
coming
gush.
Out. Like literally coming out. Is that what happens?
I think there's a couple different things that can happen. So you can either like start just like feels like you're kind of. Well, this is what I've heard. This has not happened to me, but kind of like leaking. Like it feels like you're peeing, and that can be dangerous. So you got to get to your OB like pretty quick and let him or have him see if that's what's happening. They can test it and see if that's what's happening because then that they want to monitor. But then for me it was like I woke up in the middle of the night with the first one and I thought I wet the bed, and then until I got to the hospital it just kept gushing out. And then the same with the second one. I was sitting on the couch and I was like and it was coming out.
Did you just wrap yourself in a towel?
Yeah. Okay. First time my water broke, obviously it was like all over the house and like into the bathroom and everywhere. And I was like, Drew, I need like a pair of pants or something to wear. So he got me a pair of skinny jeans to put on.
That's a man right there.
It's like, I'll just wear a towel. Thank you.
You can't put on skinny jeans. They'll be all wet and you can't get
them off. You can't put them on. Jeans are period. Yeah, I was like, honey, that's not going to work.
Were they maternity skinny
jeans? No, I don't even know. But I just remember being like, that's not going to work. So I just went in a towel.
Smacked him across the face.
Yeah, I was like, let's just go. And then, the next morning, I was like, did you go home and clean it up? And he's like, because he went back home, and he goes, when I got home, the dog had licked it all up.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, oh, God. Okay. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I think that was, like, your water broke. So I'm like, how will I know when to go into the doctor if my water doesn't break? Same. And it was, I was in labor at home all day, and it just got to the point that I don't feel comfortable being at home the way I'm feeling right now. Yeah. And then we
so
went
So you just
in.
Knew.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm.
I was induced both times, so I had labored entirely at the hospital. Mm-hmm. But the first time they broke my water because I was late and I had watched the Business of Being Born documentary like the day before I was supposed to be induced. And it was really about how aggressive the U.S. medical system is in pregnancies and how that can actually increase like mother-infant mortality rates. So I had just completely flipped myself out. So I get to the hospital for the induction and I'm like, don't give me any drugs yet. Just break my water and it'll all happen. And they're like, okay, whatever. So they broke my water for me there and nothing happened. So I was induced. But then the second time, my water, like, it's almost when you start changing position. Like, you feel a gush, and then you change positions, and it, like, lets out more.
Yeah.
So I had, like, felt a small gush, and this resident came in, and I said, I think my water is breaking. And she kind of dismissed me and was like, no, I don't think so. She said, let me check you. So then she went in to check me, and it went whoosh all up her arm, soaked her lab coat, everything. And she's like, yep, I guess it's broken.
Yes.
No, and that was, like, a gush, yeah.
You said it perfectly. You, like, get in a position. Like, I'd sit in the car to go there, and then I'd like move and it'd be like, and then I'd be like, and then when I got to the hospital, the guy brought me up in a wheelchair, like, you know, like the front, the guy at the where you park. And the lady was like, now you think your water's breaking? And I was like, I'm pretty sure I stood up and
see the
it was
trail
just
of water.
You're like, you want to see?
I did. It was literally like still just coming out everywhere.
As
I was
you
like,
open
yeah.
the towel.
And she's like, oh, gosh. Yeah, your water. Yep. Yep, your water's breaking.
Wow.
Were you guys stitched up at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. You had a C-section.
I had C-sections so. Most times.
They should have put an extra couple in there for me.
What do you mean? Like, did you rip when you delivered?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first one, I feel like I don't remember if I was stitched up for the second one, but the first one I was. And the doctor that stitched me up, he was actually training another doctor. So I had a big audience.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so when he was stitching me up, like, that hurts.
Yeah.
But then I just remember the doctor be like, okay, watch this. Like, he was so cocky. Like, we have great medical team here. Great. But the doctor that was stitching me up, and he wasn't my normal doctor, just the guy on call, he was so cocky. Like, watch this. And I started stitching me
Ew, up. And you're like, can you just get this done with
that's
already?
My vagina. Thank you for bragging about your stitching.
Wow. Yeah. How? So, where do you stitch up? Like, the vagina?
Well, the area between your end of your vagina and your anus. People can rip all the way to
their
butt.
Yeah, you can
butt.
Cut up. And, and what's it called when they do actually...
Episiotomy.
Oh, and I feel like they try not to do that anymore.
Yeah. Most people say like tearing naturally heals
better. Yeah.
But then when I did tear, I tore like across. Like,
oh my gosh.
I tore crossways instead of like a normal, just nice.
That's
split.
Painful. Yeah.
And something else.
Oh my
else
god,
then,
I'm never having. I'm
that's
gonna, like,
why your vagina.
Me.
Some people don't tear though.
Yeah.
And
then
when you take the birthing class, they teach you about what is it, perineal massage?
Yeah.
Where you can literally have your partner massage oil all around your vagina. Every day, and
I'll
then you might
that
not
up.
Wear.
Come on, because every husband's like, let's. Well, maybe they will, but you're like.
So they, some guys are really into pregnancy. Yeah. Some guys might be into that.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Glad you talked about that one. That was a good one.
If you have a C-section, your anesthesiologist, well, maybe even with if you're delivering vaginally, I don't know, but the anesthesiologist is there, like, well, for me, both times. Rubbing my head. Aww. And he was like, it was a guy both times, and he's like, okay, you're gonna feel pressure now. And my doctor was just down there like, I don't know what she was doing. She's great, but I don't know what she was doing. And
getting that baby
I mean,
out.
Yeah. But he's up there like just keeping me like so comfortable. Aww. So calm. He was amazing. It was a different guy, but they were both amazing.
So some people say, like, my like one of my girlfriends is like, I just want to have a C-section because it's easier. Which, what do you think? I mean, I didn't have that. Was it easy for you?
My first one was incredibly easy. Mm-hmm. I was like, I felt my recovery was like amazing.
Yeah,
that day I was up, I felt fine the rest of the time, perfect. No, I didn't take any like drugs or anything, felt great. My second one was not the same. But, so I don't know. I think it just depends. I don't know.
Well, I will say, like, if people are wondering, can I say, I mean, you got an infection in your.
Yeah, you had
a
terrible recovery.
Yeah, it was. And I didn't realize. You really, stairs, you got to be careful walking upstairs after
well,
you have
either,
all that.
Well, that's either, both.
Oh, both.
I mean, yeah.
Like, you really have to lay
recovery,
low.
Yeah, you have
recover.
To let your body recover.
Well, I remember my mom saying to me, she's like, you have just gone through something very traumatic, like a car accident or something like that. That's how you need to be nice to your body after you give birth.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is crazy. After my first pregnancy, I was telling people so many disgusting details because I'm like, this is crazy, right? People do not know all the shit that happens to your body. Mm-hmm. I definitely overshared way too many times. Like at work, people would be asking.
That's important that you did that because there's those people that don't know anything that just like.
That's why we're doing this.
Yes, this is
we're going
great.
Under covers and finding out. Like it's you guys are doing the tell all.
Yeah.
So is there anything else that we're missing out on?
The nurse pushing your uterus.
The rest of it.
While you're still in the hospital.
Oh, like,
so uncomfortable.
They want to make sure your uterus is going down to size and all that blood is coming out. So when you are in bed, they'll come in after you've had
push
the baby
on you,
and
lift up your sheet, watch your vagina and push on you.
Yeah, they'll push on your belly to make sure all that blood's coming out. And it hurts.
Oh,
it's not
God,
comfortable.
Yeah.
I'd be like, cringing, yeah.
Ugh.
And they know it hurts too. So
yeah,
they're nice
they're
about
gentle,
it,
but
like,
just I'm gonna push.
I will say the nurses and doctors they were great. I remember I gave my phone number to one of the nurses because
it was a lady. It was a lady. Come on, she was fantastic. Those women were fantastic.
She was like a little hottie, and I was putting lipstick on because you never know who you're gonna meet at the hospital,
right?
I'm single, and
yes.
I had come from work, and I had, my boots on, and I had to look good at the hospital, so I was putting on some new lipstick that I got, and I brought some for Lynn, because I was like, you're in the hospital, put some lipstick on,
I
you
loved
it. Look good while you're here, and so we're putting some stuff on in the bathroom, and the nurse comes in, and she's like, what are you guys doing? I was like, you never know who you're going to meet, and then she was talking about how she's got a bunch of single guy friends, and We gave her my number. She still doesn't
have
call.
Have you never hung out with her?
We never heard. She's married with kids. Never.
No.
Yeah.
Well, she never she probably doesn't go out very often.
She was very cute, though. She's really, going to keep you in mind,
what,
though.
What hospital is that?
I was at St. Mary's.
Oh, I love St. Mary's.
Were you guys? Yeah, were
oh,
we?
Oh, yeah.
St.
Mary's.
Phenomenal.
Oh.
Phenomenal. Thing I have to know, this is not about pregnancy or childbirth. This is about afterwards with your kids.
Yeah.
Have you? Okay, I told Drew this the other week, and I don't think he looked at me like I might have been crazy. I said, my love for my children hurts. Like, it hurts. Do you guys understand that? Do you guys get
like
that?
The intensity of it, or the
like,
depth of it?
It's like so, like, yeah.
I think, like, when I think or read about or see bad things happening to kids now, it hurts me so much more deeply than like before, because you imagine your own kids and you see their innocence and all that. And
why are you laughing? I'm thinking of karate the other week when you were with me, and I literally. My son was crying, and the sensei was great. He was handling it.
Where are you going?
We're going to shout out to PAX, and it's amazing.
It's on Winona Drive.
It's amazing on the east side.
Yes.
And the sensei was amazing. He had it all under control. He never looked at me. But Andy was like, Andy's like, you got to go over there. You got to go and get him and like console him. And I was like, no, it's okay. I think the sensei's got it. But I literally started tearing up.
You were
my
crying.
Husband came over and was like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I don't know. Like,
I feel
bad.
So much love.
I don't know what to do here. Like,
Well,
there's the beautifulness of it, though, too, that they are, when you see them learning a lesson or somebody else, like, taking the lead to help them out. Like, it's touching.
Yeah.
But I feel like I love my children more when they're asleep at night. I can think about, like, they're laying there. I'm like, oh, they're so
that's
sweet.
That's when you feel bad about yelling at them. When they're laying in their little angelic faces. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'm sorry, I'm never going to yell at you again.
I mean, it really is. I look at, like, parents, and it's the coolest thing ever. It's just life-changing, right? It's just life-changing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we appreciate what y'all do with your kids.
Thanks for having kids.
Breeders.
What?
Breeders.
Yeah, that's right. So we're going to – let's toast. We've been sipping on some champagne and stuff in here because, I mean, mom's got to have a little something. We should toast before we leave just because – you guys are amazing moms and friends and sisters and, like, what are we're like sister wives, even though I don't have kids or anything. Mm. But we should toast. And we should toast to Jana because she's home with her sick kid right now, and she's, like, doing the mom thing.
Can we be honest with what we're toasting with, though, right now? And I think we probably all have
this
our
is
reasons.
Mom thing. I have tea.
I have water.
I have old vanilla sweet cream cold brew with orange juice in it now.
And I have champagne and mimosa.
Well, I already finished my mimosa.
I was saying, y'all can't leave me hanging. I know someone else had a mimosa in here.
I did. I drank it all. Now I'm out of the
taste. Everyone who is a mom is non-alcoholic beverages right now. And the one single one without kids is drinking.
Because you get to go do whatever
ain't
you
no
want
shame
after
in
this.
Right.
We got to clap back in.
You got it. Should we stay here a little bit longer then?
Yeah.
I'm going to hit up Marshall's.
I know.
Yes, wrap this shit up, Andy.
All right, cheers. Let's toast.
Cheers.
Thank you for sharing your lovely story.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, girls.
Cheers.
We miss you, Jana.
We got 30 more minutes, Marshall.
Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Under the Covers and hanging with me and my girls, my mom squad. I got to tell you, next episode, we're going to be going under the covers with the man who was once living in the projects in Chicago, then in prison, and now in Madison. His story is one you won't want to miss, and one you should share.
I was sitting in prison one time, and I seen her face. The tears rolled down her eyes when she walked through the door. It just melted. And I said, I'll never hurt my mom to this capacity again, because growing up, man, I watched her like my stepdads. I watched them beat her. And I watched my mom be beat, drugged through the halls, you know what I mean? Teeth knocked out. Like, I felt like I was that person by being in jail.
And how he inspires others in Madison and the community around. That's the next episode, next week on Under the Covers.